Please won't you be my neighbor, neighbor and friend.
Hello everybody, welcome to You, Me, Them, Everybody. My name is Brandon Weatherby. Hi everybody! Hi everybody! Yay, we're all here! So we're at the Looking Glass, which means we're in a bar, which makes me happy because I'm not a failure and I can handle my alcohol. Thank you for rooting for that for some reason. Every year, my girlfriend and I decide to do some resolutions. This year's resolutions, in a way, was no meat and no alcohol, no beer. January, no meat. We tell our friends we're not going to have any meat. Fine, whatever. A lot of our friends are vegetarians. That's not that hard to do. We tell them in February, we're not drinking any beer, and they freak the fuck out. Which means I'm only friends with alcoholics. They don't know, they can't possibly understand how you cannot have beer. We tell them, well, there's still whiskey and wine. You know, there's other things we can drink. If you ever listen to Southern Rock, they sing about whiskey and wine quite a bit. They were shocked by this. They are still shocked by this. Why don't you just stop drinking? Well, because it's fun to drink. Why is it fun to drink, you might ask? Well, I have many reasons why it's fun to drink. I grew up, like most of you, as a child of alcoholics, and that's why I do a talk show in a bar. But my lineage is just spoiled with people that can't drink, and that's why my parents got a divorce. It's why my grandfather started being abusive. So I decided at a young age, I will drink, and I will be the exception to the rule. I will be the fun drunk. And ladies and gentlemen, I am the fun drunk. I always have a fantastic time. I know when to say when because that dog that was on the skis with the sunglasses taught me how to do that. We hang out with ladies in bikinis on snow slopes all the time. He's dead. It's just very odd. It's like a weekend at Bernie's with pets. But no, I'm a fun drunk, and here's what's even better. My girlfriend's a fun drunk, and that's... That sounds like we're alcoholics, and we might be, but we're in love, so fuck off, everybody. No, I love her. Oh, I love that she's getting a round of applause for dealing with abuse in a microphone. No, I love her. I love her, really. This isn't a joke. I don't know why I'm talking about this. No one's going to laugh. They're just going to feel sad and lonely if you're single. So to all you sad and lonely people, let me tell you how fun drunks live. We do this show in other cities, and my girlfriend is so kind enough to occasionally come to those other cities with me. So we take the Megabus to New York. It's an awful trip. We get there. We do the show. I was very dumb and decided, you know what? Fuck it. I have so much adrenaline. I'm going to want to stay up all night and go out, and I'm going to want to cut this audio as soon as possible. I want to work on the show. So I book a bus ticket for 3 a.m. that night. So we get there. We do the show. It's over around 9 p.m. So from 9 p.m. to 3 a.m., what are we going to do? Well, we drink. We drink an obscenely large amount of alcohol. Our livers are awful, but thank God there's science. We're going to be totally fine and live for like ever. So we drink and drink and drink and drink. And around 2 a.m., my girlfriend realizes, hey, we haven't had any food in like 12 hours, and we're about to like go on a Megabus trip back to D.C. What are we going to do? Well, fuck it. We got to make the bus. So we hurry to the bus from some borough. I don't know where we were. We were that happy together. We get back to the bus. Oh my God, did we miss the bus? There's all these people there and there's no bus. No, 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 the bus is an hour late. So she sees, because she's not nearly as wrecked as me, a Dunkin' Donuts about a half block away. I'll wait in line. She'll go to the Dunkin' Donuts. She does that, blah, blah, blah. We finally get on the bus. It's 4 a.m. and we really have to use the facilities. And this is why it's good to not be alone. On a Megabus trip, you want a row to yourself, or you want a row with someone you're with. Thank God we're together. So I run up, I claim the row, the second to the last row, and she uses the facilities. How was the bathroom, girlfriend? I won't say your name for weird reasons. How was the bathroom, girlfriend? That's what I say, because I'm fantastical. Bathroom's fine. They apparently clean the bathroom during that hour-long wait. So I go down to the restroom, and I'm the third person in line. Still fine. I'm about to... do whatever you do in the bathroom. So I did a shitload of cocaine, and I'm waiting to use the restroom for what it's meant for. And all of a sudden, the lights turn off, and the bus starts moving. And I'm wasted, and I'm in a suit. I'm the only person that's ever ridden the Megabus in a suit that wasn't going to a funeral. It could have turned into a funeral, ladies and gentlemen, but it did not. So I know I'm a good drunk because I'm buttoning my suit coat. I'm standing there. I'm like kind of twisting the night awake, kind of shimmying. Bus is moving. Lights go out. I pull my pants down. And all of a sudden, I start narrating the experience. I'm in the restroom for 10 minutes saying, now is the time I pull down my pants a little bit, about mid-thigh, because anything else, you might be considered retarded. Uh-oh, time to urinate. I'm urinating everywhere. Like, I'm sorry, ladies. It's my fault, but it's kind of the bus's fault, too. There sure is a lot of metal in this bus. It's kind of like an airport. It smells like Mentos. And apparently, my inner thoughts is the same things that made Jim Gaffigan famous. But ladies and gentlemen, that's the kind of drunk you need to be. Drink all night, drink one drink, I don't care. The point is this. If you're cool enough not to beat up somebody because of their beliefs in sports, if you're cool enough to do shots of whiskey all night long and still leave a very good tip, hint, people at the bar, tip well. Tip, 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 tip. Well. Dick tip, see? Dick joke. Everything's going to be cool. That's how you get rid of sadness. You drink the right amount, you find someone that loves you, that lets you throw bottle caps at them, and then they fall, and then you both laugh and laugh. And ladies and gentlemen, tonight we are going to laugh and throw bottle caps at each other. Because it's fun. We have a fantastic show for you tonight. We have journalist and musician Ryan Little, everybody. Please put your hands together for Ryan Little. We have stand-up comedian, who is also running an open mic here, which means he sees a lot of bad comedy, Reggie Melbro. I agree. You should definitely clap for him. And we have Jessica from Lightfoot, who is going to end the night, but we have just begun. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for Ian Walters, everybody. Ian Walters. How are you, Ian?
I'm good, Mr. Weatherby. How are you?
We have a microphone dedicated just to you.
It's really great. I feel special.
You are a special man.
Love.
Do you like to drink on the bus?
Yeah. The last time I took the bus up to New York, I was wrecked.
What did you drink on the way there?
I think it was at a holiday party. So I mean, it was something brown and strong. And I, too, had a suit on, believe it or
did
not.
Did you really?
And was supposed to get off somewhere and slept through it.
Oh!
I was wrecked. And ended up an hour north of New York somewhere.
Where did you get off the bus?
No idea, but it was kind of scary.
But you got back to New York.
Yeah, I got a cab.
How much was that cab?
40.
The cab. So you pretty much ate your entire Megabus profit, and you should have just flew Southwest.
It's kind of exciting.
All right, I guess that's exciting. I told Ian, like, hey, man, you got a microphone. Feel free to interrupt the monologue at any time. Are you just depressed, or do you think it went well?
It was a great monologue tonight.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you think we should just dissect every single segment as soon as it's over?
I'd prefer not to.
Okay, let's not do
I
that.
I think you should let people comment. You should do it all on Twitter.
All
bring
on
people,
Twitter?
Yeah.
From now on, we're only going to get Twitter comments?
Bring the people in.
Somebody said, tweet, we have sound effects. That's fantastic.
You should critique all of the segments on the Egyptian Twitter.
On the Egyptian Twitter.
Yeah.
So we should tag everything with Al Jazeera and our listenership will just grow and grow
exactly.
and grow. By the way, Egypt, what's that about? Comedy, everybody. We're doing a comedy show. So, Ian.
Yeah.
Where's your girlfriend, buddy?
She's having some of her girlfriends over this evening. So she made a...
Are you friends with your girlfriends?
Yeah, kind of.
They're okay.
Yeah, they're okay.
In my mind, they're all watching old episodes of Friends and Sex in the City. Is that appropriate?
I was hoping it might be cooler than that, but, you know.
What would they be watching, in your opinion?
Oh, pillow fights.
Pillow fights!
Yeah, pillow fights.
So your girlfriend's 13.
Obscure, right.
Britney She's playing
Spears
blind
videos.
Date. All right, let's get our first guest to the stage. He writes for the Washington City Paper. He's in bands. He's creative folk. Please put your hands together for Ryan Little, everybody. Ryan Little.
This stage is huge.
This stage is massive. Theater of the mind, everybody. Theater of the mind. Ryan, you write about music.
Among other things.
Why do you do this?
It was an accident.
Was it really?
It was. I was living in Fredericksburg a few years ago, and an editor for a Fredericksburg paper that I still sometimes write for was drunk at a show that I was playing.
You're in a band.
I'm in a band.
Let's say the name of the band.
The name of the band is Teru Teru.
Teru Teru.
T-E-R-E-U. twice.
Why did you name it Taru Taru?
Because I'm an English nerd.
You are?
Yeah.
Did you go to college?
I went to college at Mary Washington. It is now university. It was the College of Mary Washington when I started.
Do you have an English degree?
And a religion degree. Both.
And a religion degree?
Yeah.
Oh, we're going to get into that. Okay. So you're drunk at your own show, and you decide, hey.
Well, he's drunk.
Who's
he's
he?
He's drunk at my, the editor of
Oh, the editor
Freelance
of the
Star, yeah.
Okay.
One editor at the Freelance Star was drunk at my show, and I was sitting at a table with him after I played, and he was, you know, very congratulatory, and I was like, how do you write for a paper? He's like, you just have to know someone, man.
And you did.
And he's like, now you know someone. You want to interview Death Cab for Cutie in a few weeks? And I was like, okay.
And you look like you could be in Death Cab for Cutie, so I'm sure the interview went really well. That's a compliment. You have a sweater, brown slacks, some facial hair, longer hair than the average male, some comfortable canvas shoes. There's nothing wrong with how you look, sir.
Well, thanks.
You look like you play bass in Death Cab for Cutie. But you, here's a plus.
I just interviewed the bassist, though. I didn't.
Did you really?
Yeah.
He's kind of overweight. He doesn't fit the Death Cab model.
I mean, Ben was kind of overweight,
Ben
too.
Lost some weight because
he went vegan, I think, again.
He wanted to marry the she and the she and him, and he did.
And she is, yeah, he did well.
He did,
well
did okay.
He did okay.
He did okay. I don't know.
Zooey Deschanel, okay.
I don't think I'd ever want to date Zooey Deschanel.
She seems ideal, though.
Exactly.
Because
that's not normal. That's not cool.
But, I mean, it's ideal because she's in movies and in bands, but neither one is too serious.
True, like, but do you think she'd ever be like, shots! Because no, I don't think she...
No, I don't... No. You know, if that's your... Then no, you're right.
She'd be like, hey, Ben, let's go to that garage rock show down the street that has no cover. No, we're not doing that. Zooey Deschanel.
Well, in that case, she's not the woman for you.
No.
That's okay. Because
but she's the woman for
now.
You.
No.
How's that going? Are you still trying to date Zooey?
No.
Good
no,
call.
No.
So, you meet this guy at a show. Let's place the time of year. Or time of year for no reason. No, what year is this?
What year is... That's a good question.
Right now, it's 2011. We got about 18 months before the world implodes.
It was like 2008, I think.
2008, so about 3 years ago.
I think so.
And then you start writing for the Washington City Paper.
No, that was much later. And this was the Freelance Star in Fredericksburg. Sorry, this was the Freelance Star in Fredericksburg.
Okay.
So, I started writing for them in, like, 2008, and then shortly after that, I started writing for Tiny Mixtapes online,
okay.
And then in 2009, I started writing for Express.
Okay.
Once after.
Which
I
is
moved,
a daily paper in Washington, D.C.
Yeah. Yes, and I moved to Washington, D.C. in 2009. So
okay.
I started writing for them after I moved here, and then early 2010, I started writing for City Paper.
Okay.
I still write for Express sometimes, still write for Freelance Star sometimes.
And you mainly do music, or do you do other stuff as well?
Mostly music, but, you know, I also do theater, film, comedy, whatever's kind of coming through that someone suggests.
Have you ever written about dance?
No.
I can't imagine dance writers. That's got to be the hardest thing to critique.
Yeah,
no, I'm just completely serious. How do you... That was a good whatever. I don't know. You're insane specimens of art. I can't imagine doing any of that.
I don't know how to dance, nor do I know how to appreciate dance.
Yeah, exactly. So, I could no kind of tell when it's good, but
no
to me
idea.
It's all impressive. It's like, wow, you people don't do shots a lot. That's a callback, ladies and gentlemen. So, Ryan, you start writing, not for the City Paper. You work up your way to the City Paper. You're in Washington, D.C. now, and you're still in the band.
I am.
Is there a conflict of interest?
Yes.
How so? Give me an example.
Well, I mean, not all the time, but... You know, it's not good to write about people that you're close friends with.
Yeah.
And sometimes you become close friends with bands that you play with frequently.
Of course. But and it's not like you're in a startup band. Your band's been around a while. You've gotten really good shows. You've played really good shows.
Yeah. I mean, it was, like, for example, when the Dismemberment Plan announced that they were reuniting, I posted a few articles about that, and then they asked my band to open for them.
What a problem!
So I had
you white, successful indie rocker.
Success.
Only DC's favorite indie band of all time is reuniting. Oh, I guess I can't write about them and play with them. I can only get drugs from one side of that equation.
It was very hard.
So you played the show.
I played the show. It was a lot of fun, but I just
what a shock! That was a fun show. I thought it would have been awful.
No, it was fun. It's not. It's not deep conflict, but it's just the occasional thing that, like, I have to stop writing about this or whatever.
Does it influence the music at all?
I hope not.
No. Not like who you're going to write about, but what you're going to write about or how you're going to perform. Like, you probably go to a lot of shows.
I do
go to a lot. You hear a ton of records.
I mean, I've always gone to a lot of shows, though.
Do you still? How old are you, sir?
I'm 27.
Do you still like going to a lot of shows?
Yeah, although lately I've been busier than I would like and haven't been to as many. But, yeah, I do still like going to a lot of shows. I like. There's a lot of good bands, a lot of people making really interesting art, and I like to see it.
Yeah, there's a lot of... D.C. is underappreciated in terms of the art scene here.
Yeah,
there's a lot
really
of good stuff going on.
Yeah, there is, and I think it's only gotten better in the past couple of years.
Fantastic. Actually. See, that was a very good diplomatic answer. Now, let's not talk about who you hate. Who do you like that you didn't know about 6 months ago?
That
a band.
Didn't know... Ooh, that I didn't know about 6 months ago?
Yes.
Oh, good grief. That's really hard.
One band.
One
so there's
band.
That many awesome bands out there right now. You can't.
No,
think
no.
Of
I'm just trying to Time is this like weird gray mass for me. So like, remembering.
Do you like drugs?
Do I like? I've never done them. I mean, with the exception of alcohol, and prescribed drugs.
What prescribe? Do you like Vicodin?
I've never taken Vicodin.
That's a prescribed drug.
Yeah, I know it is, but I've never taken it.
Do you hate people that take Vicodin? Are
Absolutely
you judging?
Not. I have friends who do all sorts of strange things to their minds and bodies, and that's, you know, their business.
Are they fun people?
Some of them not as much.
I'm guessing they're not aging very well.
They or me?
Them. You look great.
Oh, well, thank you. You have a girlfriend, though, right?
I do.
Okay.
And you like Zoe, so it wouldn't work out anyways.
Well, yeah, I it's just not my bag. It's not my thing.
So, what's the ultimate goal? If you can get paid the exact same amount to write or play music, which would you do?
Music.
Why?
It's more fun.
Why is it more fun?
Well, because with writing, the feedback's a little... It takes longer. You don't get the immediate gratification of playing on stage and seeing people enjoy what you do. And there are... I guess there are elements of both that feel gratuitous or self-congratulatory, but... It's less often that you hear someone talk about journalism as something that really meant a lot to them in their life.
I don't know. In this city, it seems like more people would rather be a journalist than a musician.
Maybe it's just easier to live as a journalist than as a
probably.
Musician. The rent doesn't accommodate artists very well in this town.
Where do you live? How much is your rent? Don't answer.
I live on 16th Street, almost in Maryland, but not quite.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Where are you from?
Originally, I'm from Richmond, Virginia.
Oh, so you're pretty close.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I drove up for Fugazi shows when I was in high school, you know.
Oh, I know, stereotype.
Oh, you know.
Of music writer and musician.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's assumed.
How is the city paper? Do you like writing for them?
Yeah. My editor's really great. John Fisher's a really great editor to work for, and I get a lot of freedom and can cover
Do you get to
I
pick
enjoy.
Who you write about?
Mostly. I mean, I pitch things, he pitches things. I tend to cover a lot of punk rock and post-punk and stuff like that. Because
Is that because of the music you play?
That's because it's because I know what's going on with those. I would actually like to be writing more about... I would like to write more about film. I'd like to write more about things that I don't know as much about. But there's an inherent problem in not knowing.
That is an inherent
so,
problem.
You know, yeah.
But, You're a nice guy. You are a nice guy.
Well, thanks. I've been drinking. It helps.
You've been drinking. How much have you had?
No, I'm just... I'm not a heavyweight.
You're not going to answer this question. Do you drink when you write?
Rarely.
Rarely.
I mean, sometimes. I'm a freelancer, so it doesn't matter. I mean, I'm at home.
Okay.
You know, so, like, I could be drunk. That's the journalistic cliche, right?
Like Somewhat.
At least from the 50s, maybe not from 2011.
Ian, is there anyone you think Ryan should know about? Ian's a musician. He plays a lot. He knows all the peoples.
I think Ryan should probably tell me what to like. I should probably read some of the columns.
I don't tell people who
I'm
to
an
like.
Artist. I like me and no one else.
That's pure. It's very pure.
I don't know what just happened there, but
feedback?
Something with pure.
He
you
said
like
he
pure
only
water.
Likes himself.
Well, I only like him. I hate everyone else right now. Very mean for
well,
no
I'm
reason.
I'm sorry for annoying you then.
No, you're great. I like you. I changed my mind. If you're new to DC, I'm new to DC. Where should I be going for shows? What band should I be checking out? What should I be reading? I read the City Paper blog a lot. I do DCist a lot, stuff like that.
Those are good sources.
What am I missing out on?
I mean, all right, so there's the staple venues. I'm sure you're familiar with the Black Cat and the 930 Club.
Of course.
Great rock venues. But
can I throw a quick question here? Why does every local show cost $10 here and $5 everywhere else in the country?
Everywhere else in the country costs $5?
Yeah, no one. There's so many mid to shitty level bands, and it's $10 cover.
I haven't had that experience elsewhere, though. I haven't.
That's because you're not paying and you're on the list.
Well, now, not always. But, I think it's expensive to live in D.C., frankly.
But in New York, half those shows are free, and it's the same price.
Well, there's also about 7 to 20 times more bands in New York.
So we're saying we need 7 to 20 times more bands in D.C. to make it awesome.
No, I don't know if that's the answer. But there are a lot of really awesome underground like house shows.
Let's talk about those.
I don't even know if like this website wants publicity, but there's a website called NYR Basement.
In your basement, spelled like how Sonic Youth would spell your.
Perfect.
YR.
Yeah, .tumblr.com. And they list a lot of house shows.
That's
that are going
brilliant.
On.
That's exactly the kind of stuff we need to know. InYourBasement.tumblr.com.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of like hardcore bands, and you know, some of the bands aren't great. Some of them are awesome, though. Some of them are like really cool.
That's the kind of answer. That's what I wanted from
you. Well, there you go.
That's fantastic.
There's a source that I check for myself. That's where, in fact, I'm not the only one who checks it, because some of the shows, like, I'll show up and there'll be like all the other music writers.
That's fantastic.
DC will be there.
That's not a joke.
We should have like a conspiracy and decide who gets famous next. But
that's called journalism. That's music journalism.
We can't agree on things, so that wouldn't happen.
How do you explain 90% of what's at the Pitchfork Music Fest? It's one lonely white writer that likes some weird bullshit Canadian pseudo pop.
Yeah, but a lot of the bands at Pitchfork Fest sell a lot of records, though.
Why do they sell the records? Because of that one Pitchfork review.
I mean, the one Pitchfork review helps, but it's not the end-all be-all.
It depends on the level of the band. A Place to Bury Strangers. Do you think either of us would know about them if it wasn't for that Pitchfork review?
I know about them because the guy was in an old band in Fredericksburg, where I used to live.
Okay.
So
do you think anyone in this
otherwise,
world...
Otherwise, I have no idea.
Yeah.
But the guy in that band also makes really amazing guitar pedals.
No, they're really good.
They make
good
really
band.
Great... I mean, they make and sell guitar pedals that, like, Bono buys. Like, I mean, or the Edge buys.
It'd be so much better if Bono was like, just try this one. And the Edge is like, no! I'm the Edge! I talk like this!
I've always wondered why he talked like that.
Yeah, isn't it weird?
It's not appropriate. He's doing really
What's that
well,
documentary he did with Jack White and the other guy?
It might get loud.
It might go, why am I talking like this? I'm the Edge! With or without me, bitches!
It's true.
I like to fuck up you two things in
he
my
got
head.
Really lucky with it. I don't know why Bono was his friend, but it worked out.
Why Bono was the Edge's friend?
Yeah, with talking like that, why would you want to be...
Because all he does is go... with guitar, and people love it.
People
watch Friends love the YouTube. Okay, let's end this interview before we just insult very, very big bands and isolate the audience. Pick a card.
I don't believe in gambling.
I don't care. Just do it. It's my fucking show. Give me the card.
I'll give
there
you the
you
card.
You go,
and I read it. Why do I do this like a stupid magic trick? Okay. What's the most beautiful place you've ever seen?
Oh, God. Wow. I don't know. I mean, it would be totally cliche if I said something like Niagara Falls, which is breathtaking. But I've also been to the Dominican Republic. And while I was in the Dominican Republic, there was like one day where we went to like this waterfall that it was like a natural water slide that you could like slide down.
That's awesome.
It was pretty much like you would imagine it would be.
The correct answer was Zooey Deschanel's pussy. Pussy jokes, everybody.
Not yet.
Pussy jokes
now.
I like to think that I know that the guy's telling a story to his friends and he clapped, but I like to think he was clapping to me yelling pussy.
Yeah, he probably was.
I'll take that clap, everybody. And finally, we're going to close with a question from the Kids Book of Questions by Gregory Stock, PhD. It's for children, and it's an awful, awful book.
But he's a doctor.
He is a doctor, but so is Dr. Phil. So I need you to pick a number between 1 and 256.
38.
38. Why 38?
I have no idea.
Neither do I.
Maybe it... I don't know.
We're retiring the questions this year, so number 38. Are you in a hurry to grow up? What does it mean to be, quote, grown up, end quote? And when do you think it will happen to you?
I play in rock bands and write for alternative newspapers. I don't think I'm in a hurry to grow up. I think by nature of the things that I do, I'm not.
You know what's weird about that? for someone in the industry, you're super grown up because you get to fucking open for the Dismemberment Plan and get paid, and you get to paid about music. No offense. That's fantastic. That's awesome. You, sir, are living the dream.
Am I? Oh, the great.
Yeah. So now everyone in here is jealous and hates you.
It's cool. I can barely eat, so.
Well, you don't need to eat. That's how you keep that thin figure of yours. You think they want a fatty writing about indie rock? You know what you're up to, buddy.
Fair enough.
Where can people read your stuff?
They can pick up the City Paper, and I'm in most issues on Thursdays when it comes out. And then the City Paper website, thewashingtoncitypaper.com.
And how can people find your music?
TeruTeru.com, MySpace.com.
Spell that out.
T-E-R-E-U. Twice.
T-E-R-U. T-E-R-U.com.
Exactly.
Why not .biz? Did you not want to be different?
I don't even know how you get a .biz site.
I think by the end of the show, we need to get TeruTeru.biz.
All right.
And just show them up. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for Ryan Little, everybody. Ryan Little. Thank you, Ian. That was delightful. Are you doing okay, buddy? You seem real sad tonight for some reason.
I got a nap this afternoon, and I'm not quite sure I woke up.
He got a nap, but he didn't really wake up. Okay. This is the point of the evening where someone does stand-up comedy.
Fuck yeah.
And they question their life decisions about doing stand-up comedy. Because it's not easy to do. So I beg of you, wonderful, wonderful people inside of the Looking Glass Lounge, to shut the fuck up so he can do some good stand-up comedian X. X Body Spray, everybody. It's a great sponsor of ours. We all smell like leather and chocolate. Like Zooey Deschanel's pussy. Okay, everybody. Please put your hands together. Eyes in front. 1, 2, 3. Eyes on me. I deal with children every day, kids. Please put your hands together for Reggie Melbro, everybody. Reggie Melbro.
Hi, guys. Hey. Looking Glass Lounge. Feels like home. I host the open mic here on Monday night, so this is, like, really cool. My name's Reggie Melbro. I live here in D.C. Yeah, one fan. Woo! Yes, one fan in the house. I live here in D.C. I don't have a car, so I have to travel with the Metro, our subway system, everywhere to Virginia and Maryland to do shows and all that. And as a black guy, find it very ironic that I take an Underground Railroad to go to Virginia. I think it's just because I have this irrational fear that I'm going to end up in a time warp somewhere and just be walking around like, your name's Toby! Bah! I'm like, whoa, sir, what year is this? It's '03! Like, like, whoa, like 1803? No, it's 2003! Like, oh, space-time continuum. Fuck! Ah, Virginia. So fear. So afraid of that. It's because I'm from Boise, Idaho. You know, that's where I'm originally from. And growing up there, it was fine, because most of my friends were white, which it was fine. But their only real exposure to black people is what they saw on TV. So that's what they would judge me against. And they always be like, Reggie, you're the whitest black dude ever. You're like Carlton Banks, you're the whitest black dude ever. Word? You bought me that Tim McGraw CD, dog. Like, I just love cribbage. Like, you know, because my black friends, a.k.a. my family, they're the ones who introduced me to all the R&B and rap music that I love listening to. But Boise's very white and very affluent. So, like, I didn't really understand some of the hip-hop that I listened to. So when I heard N.W.A. talking about slinging rocks, I immediately was like, oh! That's an allegory for the Palestinian-Israeli conflict. It makes sense. They have a cause. Selling crack cocaine, really? Never. Who would do that? That's just silly. Like, how was I supposed to know that Two Live Crew's "Hey, We Want Some Pussy" was about not kitty cats? Like, how was I supposed to know Luke was just getting dirty and nasty? It's not my thing. But, you know, I guess growing up in Boise and now living in D.C., I realized that I'm not, like, quote-unquote, that black. Because I live in Columbia Heights, and I was walking around with my iPod on, and I was listening to some Lil Wayne, and the word nigger came up. So I said it out loud, and all of a sudden a group of black kids came out of nowhere and was like, "Nope, doesn't sound right!" As I got up from that ass-whipping, a white dude who looked sort of like Brandon must have just was listening to some Eazy-E, because he walked right by me. It was like, "Nigga, nigga, 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 please." They let him go. I was like, sirs, what's the difference? Like, well, he said nigga, not nigger. We have morals. Can you believe that, stupid niggas? Like, so silly. I don't know, do you guys all commute to go to work? You guys all commute, take the bus or the subway system? Metro, yeah. Ride a bike. I see a lot of the same people every morning when I commute. You know, like, and I was like, I develop like these little commute crushes on people. Like I see these people and I'm like, ooh, I can't wait to see this person on the 42. Ooh, it's like really sad and pathetic. Because then, like, I, like, store information about these people that is, like, worth nothing except for my sick, demented fantasies. And then, like, it's like, I can't say this to them, like, out in public. I can't be like, oh, I see you cut your hair recently. How do you even know me? I saw you on the 42, and I said, I'm going to jail, aren't I? It's not going to be a good thing. That's a funny joke. I don't know why you guys didn't laugh. Maybe I'm just the sick and twisted one. Fuck you guys for being moral, apparently. I'm a huge sports fan. I played college football, and I love sports. I find it very odd, though, that as sports fans, we take things ultra seriously when people talk smack about your teams. You know, I went to the Boise State Virginia Tech game. I was there, and I was trying to be as cordial and as nice, as friendly as possible. Maybe because I was the only black guy in my section. But also because I was like, I didn't want to start anything. And these guys were giving me crap. They're like, why don't you go back to Idaho and eat some potatoes on your blue field? Well, why don't you go back to Virginia and hang black people? They didn't take that too kindly. They're like, listen, we haven't done that since '03. I'm like, what, like 1803? No, 2003. It's like, ah, racism. I'm a high school teacher by trade, where I'm not telling you guys these gems. That's what I usually do. It's a hard job. It's a hard job. Because I'm almost 30. But, like, there's times that I forget that I'm the adult in the classroom, and I don't respond maturely to some of the things my students will say to me. Hey, yo, Melbro, do black girls have sex better than white girls? Daquan, inappropriate question. I never had sex with a black girl, so I went, no. Asian chicks are phenomenal, I'll tell you what. Peruvians, caliente. Delicious, like sriracha sauce. It's hot. Yeah, sriracha, you know that shit. It's delicious. Hey, yo, Melbro, do deaf people hear their thoughts? No, but when you taught, they get closed captioning in ESP. But Melbro, I'm Vietnamese. It's close enough. I get afraid, though. I have a fear. I have a fear. Because there's all those teacher sex scandals, and I'm just afraid of even being accused. Because I know that's wrong, and there's no way I'm going to do it. I'm just afraid of being accused. That would be a horrible thing to be put on your resume. So if one of these little girls even tried to touch me, immediately I'd be like, my hands are up here! But I still might get in trouble because my pants are out here. See, that's just silly. Because why would I throw away my livelihood for a girl with a trapper keeper? doesn't seem like something I would do. That's someone not a wise choice. I love the fact that marijuana is still illegal, because it's like it's a silly thing for it to be illegal. It's just so silly. You know, it's illegal because William Randolph Hearst wrote in his newspapers in the early 1900s that marijuana was a drug that blacks and Latinos were using to rape white women. I don't need a drug to rape a white woman. That's why I come to this bar. Like, I mean, that's just a silly notion. Right? Like, what stoner do you know is sitting around smoking weed going, that girl's so hot, I'm going to rape her tonight. Really? Because a stoner is more than likely thinking, that girl's hot, Matlock's on. Hey, guys, thank you for listening. My name is Reggie Melbro. Have a good night. Come to the Looking Glass Lounge. February 7th is our next show. Thank you, guys.
Reggie, sit down, buddy. Sit down.
Oh, sit.
Sorry, I'm retarded.
No, you're not retarded.
How you doing, Brandon?
I'm good. How are you? You're from Idaho.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yes, Boise, Idaho. That's where I'm from.
What brought you here?
I moved out here in 2007 because my buddy Chris McConnell, who I grew up with in Boise, lived out here. And I was like, I need to get the hell out of Boise. I need to try something new. He's like, I live out here. You can crash on my couch. I'll help you get a job, and then you're on your own after 3 months.
You're the first person I met that moved here for another man that is, I think, is straight.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a man crush. I had a bromance. We were both athletes. Like, I'm very bro-ish, man. I played college ball.
You realize you're wearing a turquoise
Ninja Turtle shirt. Because I am a nerd at heart. Like, I'm a sports nerd. Like, I'm one of those guys who memorize sports facts and, like, stupid trivia things like that. But I could never be a nerd around the jocks, because the jocks beat up nerds. So whenever, like, we'd be doing, like, jockey stuff, they'd be like, oh, man, no, remember when the Saints beat the Bears in 86? I'm like, well, actually, no, that was actually the bam, bam, bam. They're like, why do you know that? I'm like, football. You know, I'd have to, like, go back to my broness.
Is it wrong that when you said they did jockey things, I instantly thought raping?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. We did that a couple times, too.
Of course, of course.
It was... Like, look, I didn't participate. Like I said, I smoked marijuana. Like, I didn't do the raping.
Where'd you go to college?
I went to Boise State.
Did you play Boise State football?
So I didn't play. I was the third string corner. I was the third, on the blue field.
Wait, did somebody say midfield?
Yeah. No, the blue field. Okay. Our blue field. Yes. What?
Why are you...
You're booing our uniforms in blue field. What? Because you guys can't see? Because we're so fucking blind, we can't see. We're so stupid. Screw you. Yeah, you know what? We beat the Utes. We beat BYU. We beat Utah State. Y'all can really just suck my nuts. Like, that's how it comes down to it with that. Because my team has destroyed you. How many times have you guys been ranked in the top 25? How many bowl games have you won? Silence. That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Win. Victory. Yeah, hey, you guys are in the Pac-12 now. Congratulations. I'm very proud of that. That is awesome, though. I will give you props. I give you props when you guys... Kyle Whittingham's a great coach. I love Urban Meyer, man. You guys are good. I love Alex Smith.
And we play on a greenfield.
Yes, you do.
You do realize... Shut up!
Yeah, be quiet.
No,
We're not talking about you anymore.
I love you
Focus
guys.
Focus on me. I'm the whore.
I love
I'm
you guys.
I'm the whore up here.
Shut the fuck up. Okay, here we go. You realize that this is a podcast.
Yeah, so they didn't hear any of that.
And it's a talk show, so A, they didn't hear any of it. B, none of our listeners know anything about college football because they listen to podcasts. C,
they might.
Shut up! I love you, Reggie.
You are mean. I'm going to rape you.
There it is. That was a fantastic callback. We're shaking hands. See, gentlemen over there, please don't respond, but just think about this. You too, Reggie.
Yes.
Why root for college sports? All of you are paying money to see shit for athletes that will just be injured and never benefit from it. Unlike pro sports, where at least the people that are going to be brain damaged have some money to fall back on.
True.
Moving on.
Yes.
Did you enjoy playing college
football? Yeah, I loved it. I was the third string, so like I walked on in 2000.
You were a walk-on.
Yeah, I played high school in Boise.
Yeah.
Got hurt. didn't have like some major deals, was going to go play smaller, decided to stay and play there, got to work my way to the third string, was about to start playing, blew out my shoulder.
Oh, no.
And then from there, it was injury prone, to where I was like, my body is breaking down. I can't do this.
Is your shoulder still
fucked
up? My
shoulder is still technically really messed up. I had to repair it.
Oh, wow.
I have a big scar on my leg that I busted my leg open. I had gamekeeper's thumb. My body just broke down.
Do you do any material based on this?
No, not yet. Like,
you realize that no one in here has played college football.
Exactly.
That's like a unique experience, man. I'm very interested
in
that.
Like, it was fun. It just sucks because like my body broke down, and that was when I realized I am not going to make it to the league. Like,
yeah.
I played with guys who played in the league, like Darren College, Corey Hall, Quentin Michael, Jared Alexander, like all these guys who I played with, I was in the trenches with every day, grinding, lifting weights, running, doing the 6 a.m. workouts, all that. And they're all off making money doing that.
Yeah.
And I'm teaching high school kids.
Yeah, but you know what? They're probably not fans of stand-up.
True. They're not doing stand-up.
They
so.
Probably can't write a complex sentence.
It was hard. So, well, no. They're smart dudes. We graduated.
They're rich dudes.
True, but we graduate dudes. We graduate,
oh, you do?
Guys. Yeah,
Boise's known
we graduate.
For that?
We
know
don't
that.
Joke. We actually care about education. I'm like Utah. Call back.
Yeah, yeah, for call you back. Really you really stuck it to all those Utah fans listening.
Yeah,
that
exactly.
No one really hurt from that.
Exactly. No one.
Why comedy? What made you start doing this?
My grandma died in 2000.
Fantastic! The end. Yeah, all right, everybody.
Yeah. My
so dead grandparents lead to comedy.
My dead grandma.
No. Keep going.
My grandma died, and from there it was just like I was kind of in a depression. I lost some other friends that were really close to me.
Is this story ever going to get funny?
Oh, and so then, like, I just decided, look, I need to do something. I need to get myself out of this. Sorry. So I just said, I'm going to try to write a movie. Had no clue how to write a movie. So I was like, screw that. I want to write a joke. See if I can even
That's
do this.
That's shorter than
thing.
A movie.
Because I saw friends of mine do it back in Boise, and I was just always nervous. I never wanted to try
it. Yeah, yeah.
Because I was one of the only black kids.
Yeah.
My name's very unique. So it was
Reggie
gonna be
Melbro.
Yeah. So like everyone's gonna know it was me if I was trying to do a show. So I just never did it. So when I was out here, I was like, you know what? I'm 24, 25, 26 years old. I gotta try it now, because if I don't try it now, I'm never gonna do it.
And are you happy that you're doing it?
Yes.
And where can people see you?
You can see me here at the Looking Glass Lounge every Monday. Well, not every Monday. It's gonna be we're here February 7th, and then we're switching now in March to the last Monday of every month because Brandon's show is taking over.
Fuck this guy.
Yeah.
Yay.
All for the love of art and comedy in the area, so it's all good. We're all family, so it's all gravy.
I'm an only child that doesn't know anybody in my family. We're
okay.
Not family. Where's my child support?
For the DC people, we're going to be doing Don't Block the Bots comedy show February 25th.
Fantastic.
I'll be headlining
Where's
a show.
Where's that at?
At the Wonderland Ballroom.
At the Wonderland, another great venue.
Which I have flyers for here for the people inside.
That really
yeah, that's what I brought for you. I brought you flyers. Yeah,
listener.
I brought you a gift. No one loves that. Mike Goldman in the house. What up?
Once again, dude, podcast
no one,
not working.
Yeah, no one knows.
Not working at all.
I'm headlining a show March 25th at Cat's Alley.
Okay, stop. You haven't done one of these before, have you?
No.
You pick one and
pick
you stick
one,
to
stick
it,
with it,
and then you update your website.
Okay.
That's what you do.
Well,
pick
you know
one.
What?
Go.
Pick one.
The next
Cat's
one.
Cat's Alley.
Oh, Jesus. All right, we're going to end this interview with two questions.
All
here
right,
you go, buddy.
Two questions.
You're getting better at this. Don't worry.
You know what?
Your stand-up's way better than your plugging skills.
Yes. Yes,
all
it
right.
is.
In what language would you like to be fluent?
I would love to be fluent in German.
Why?
Just because it sounds so angry. And I would imagine being really snarky in German would be really awesome. Because, like, you can just be very sarcastic and just sound ultra, ultra angry.
That is true. Okay, yes. Now, I need you to pick a number between 1 and 256 from the Kids Book of Questions, blah, blah, blah.
15.
That's taken. You get 18.
Okay, I'll take 18.
By the way, that table right there, I love you, too.
I love you guys also.
Tail behind you. I hope they all die of AIDS tonight. Okay.
Yes.
It's just an AIDS death. Don't worry.
AIDS. You have AIDS.
I like
AIDS,
that this
AIDS.
Is AIDS. Did you hear you what they
AIDS.
Said in response
you
to that? Woohoo!
You have
Someone
AIDS.
Needs to see milk. Okay.
You have AIDS.
18. If you could be invisible for a day, what would you do?
Oh, God. Do you want my real answer or should I give a political answer?
Funny answer.
Okay. I would spy on Sarah Palin and take nude pictures and then post them on the internet.
Don't you, yeah, but the camera's not nude. The camera's just a, it's just a floating camera.
Oh, well, that's
you didn't
fine.
Really think through this.
Yeah.
Why not just, if you're going to have an invisibility cloak, why not just set up the camera and move away, a crowd member that no one heard the first part of that answer? Okay, so the point is you want to take nude pics of Palin.
Yes, because.
Nude peas of pee.
Why not?
And pussy, that's the third reference of pussy tonight, everybody.
Pussy.
Let's keep track. Hopefully we can get to four. Please, everybody, where can they find you online?
Facebook.
Facebook, Reggie Melbro. Go through this website. Please put your hands together for Reggie Melbro.
Thank you, guys.
Take
have
it away.
A good night.
Thank you, Ian. Hey, Reggie and guys talking about blue turf. Shut the fuck up. Okay. I love you guys. Who? Whatever guy. Because most people need to be wearing New York Yankees hats 365 because you got to represent money. Okay. Who are we speaking with?
Hi.
Your name?
Jess.
Jess, what do you do?
I play in a band called Lightfoot.
Lightfoot. You're going to play music. Why did you decide to do this?
Play music?
Yes, play music.
Join your show.
I don't know why anyone would say yes to this. There's free drinks.
Free drinks. Started to play music because I had a terrible breakup.
Terrible breakup?
Yes.
Guy or girl?
Guy.
Does this guy know about this breakup?
Oh, he's fully aware.
Does he know about the songs you've written?
I think so.
What's his name and address?
I wish, right?
Is he also a musician?
He is a musician.
Is he nearly as successful as you?
He's still playing music.
So no, that's the answer. You're very diplomatic. How long has Lightfoot been around?
Almost a year now. Started out as a solo project, and then I manhandled some boys to play with me.
It's fun to manhandle boys. You were in a band before Lightfoot.
I was.
What was that band called?
Vox Pop.
Did you okay? Here's an insider story. Ian, chime in on this. A former guest said that he did not enjoy Vox Pop.
Oh, I didn't either.
Why didn't you enjoy Vox Pop?
It wasn't my style of music, my preference.
Is this your style of music?
Yes.
Good. Why should people care about this? Why is this good?
Why is this good? Oh, that's a tough one.
Isn't it? Hard-heading abstract questions that no one could possibly answer.
Goodness, probably because this is the only thing that matters to me right now. Finally doing, writing music for myself and writing music for nobody else, basically.
That's a great reason. Good job. Let's end this interview before I start insulting people. How about that? I need you to pick a card.
There you
go. It doesn't matter.
This one.
Gimme. Okay. If you could have dinner anywhere in the world, which restaurant would you choose?
Oh, my gosh. Which restaurant would I choose? This is funny, too, because I just got laid off from a job in the restaurant industry.
Where'd you get laid off?
I was doing online reservations for fine dining restaurants.
Was that
kind
that
of like open table?
That sounded awful.
Yeah, no, I mean it was exciting. It was a
okay. You're very easy to please, gentlemen out there. She likes taking reservations. I don't know how that helps in the dating world. That guy's fine of reservations.
Reservations.
You like to be on time to places, don't you?
No, I'm terrible at being on time, actually, which is why it's funny. I worked in reservations. I'm always
hilarious.
Tardy. Always tardy.
Hilarious. I need you to pick a number between... You're a great sport. 1 and 256.
255.
255! We're ending the questions this year. If, by magic, you had the power to pick one person and always be able to read that person's mind, who would you pick?
Oh my gosh. My dog.
Have you ever heard the phrase, dream big?
No, but we hang out a lot, and sometimes I feel like he wants to talk back to me, but he just can't. So I think that'd be really helpful, because I ask him questions all the time, and I ask him for advice, and he's not very helpful.
Did you hear the first part of the show when I interviewed Ryan about Zooey Deschanel?
Yes.
I think those Zooey Deschanel fans are going to like you with the dog talking and the reservations and the heartbreak and the vox pop. You going to play some music for us?
I would love to.
Please stick around, everybody. Well, Jessica or Lightfoot, how should I build this?
Just Lightfoot's fine.
Lightfoot's going to set up. Ian's going to play some music. Stick around. You've been a great, great crowd. Please put your hands together for Jessica. Hey, everybody. I want to thank each and every one of you for coming to the Looking Glass. We really, really appreciate it. We'll be back here next week, Thursday. And I'm very, very excited to introduce Lightfoot, everybody. Please put your hands together for Lightfoot.
Hi. This one's called 1963. right, this next one is called Pow Wow.
Deserve. Well, I've been shorting myself. Gonna break your heart. You give up right now. If you were smart, they're gonna break your heart in two.
Our full band experience. It's much louder. No acoustics in the full band. We'll be Galaxy Hut on the 20th of February. We'll be at Rockman Hotel with Nicole Black, Nicole Atkins and the Black Sea on the 9th of March. All right, this one's called Beaster.
wake up, cut off my left hand, feel their turbo for me.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody. Have a good night.